is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. I'll tell you this, just finished talking to our staff meteorologist, Dr. Bill Williams, about the bumpy weather morning we've had so far. And we have one last cell that's causing that last tornado warning going through Baldwin County, then clearing from west to east. And here at our studios, just barely west of Airport Boulevard, just barely west of 65 on Airport Boulevard, I see sun out there. So things are looking better, cooling off tonight. Maybe you got a little pollen washed off the vehicle there. So good news. All right, I mentioned that as we continue what we do around here, trying to answer y'all's questions as we negotiate the health side of the coronavirus fight, as well as the economic side, get your questions and find people that can answer these questions. And it's all about the SBA loan and how you go through this process. We've talked about this money is out there to make these loans for small businesses. And we talk about the forgiveness within those loans for certain spending, like wages and salary and operating costs. But that just begs so many more questions. So a real treat today to have somebody on who does this, what does it full time right now, I bet, as we check in with Andrew Bailey and a supervisor here. This is a subject I'm going to ask here. Andrew, this is something that is, I guess, as a subject for SBA, not new to you, but having the government step up, put the money up, and say there's forgiveness here, that's got to be something new, right? You're a supervisor at Crow Shields and Bailey. Talk about this. Brand new stuff, but maybe a little bit of the same old.
Well, this bill is brand new. What's been in existence in the past is this EIDL loan. That's a loan for disaster relief, for people that might have been affected by natural disasters in the past. But this CARES Act that came out, specifically the Paycheck Protection Loan, this is a whole new deal, and it was just signed into law this past Friday. And actually, as we speak right now, the banks are still waiting on further guidance, so it's evolving every minute.
Okay, because that's when I talked to Congressman Byrne last week, because there were a whole bunch of questions. He said, well, your bankers should know about it. You should be able to go to your banker and say, I'm here to take it, to bring here and get a loan here, take advantage of this, and they should know. But you're saying the bankers still don't know the ins and outs of this?
Yeah, well, they've read the bill that's been signed into law now, so they know generally who's going to qualify and who doesn't, and they kind of know what documents that they're going to need for this process, but they still don't have a formal application yet. And so the SBA was given a certain amount of days they can provide guidance to the banks, and so they're just waiting for the green light at this point.
Okay, so what y'all are doing at Crow Shields and Bailey, and you as a supervisor there, are you then guiding us with the bankers, or are you going to guide the bank? How does that process work? If I've got these questions, I want to go through these. Do I contact my banker first, then you, or how does this work, Andrew?
Either way, but we're helping our clients navigate through this process, working with their banks. So we've been on the phone with most of the banks in town, and we're trying to stay ahead of the curve here, figuring out what exactly they're going to need. And then a lot of this data is payroll-type reports and payroll filing reports and tax returns. So we're compiling all the data that the banks are going to require. So when they do start processing loans, our clients are ready at the front of the line.
Okay, because that's really important, too, because whenever this money becomes available, it's still not soon enough for a lot of small businesses out there. They say, this is great, but I got to make it to that point wherever it is.
Yeah, exactly. And then also this program was funded with $349 billion, billion with a B, but you got to think at the same time, most small businesses across the country are going to be applying for these loans. So I imagine that it's going to move pretty quickly.
Okay. Andrew, help me. Maybe it's easier as we talk about small businesses. Who's eligible, or maybe it's easier to say who is not eligible?
So generally speaking, if you employ 500 people or less, you're going to be eligible. Now, there are certain exceptions for franchises or various industries, but a good rule of thumb would be if you have 500 employees or less, you'd be eligible. And the other aspect to it is, have you been negatively impacted by the COVID-19 crisis, which I would say most businesses at this point have been.
And would that be, proving that, would you go to the banker and have to prove that in the short term or also project where you're going for the rest of the year? How do you show that you've been impacted? I think it's probably a given that most people have, but do you have to prove that?
Yeah, so right now, again, since the banks don't know exactly what they're going to need, they've been suggesting that they need to provide a type of narrative of how they've been impacted. It could be that they've had to close, they're losing revenue, they can't collect on AR, they've had supply chain disruption. So there's a lot of different pieces that would say, yeah, you've been impacted by this crisis.
Now, as we talk about this, and this is this lifeline, this is this place to get to, what do you tell them, businesses that are talking to you, say, you know, I may not make it to that point in 2 weeks or 3 weeks? I mean, the government's telling me to keep my employees on payroll, but I may not be able to make payroll or the next one.
So, you know, it is a case-by-case basis, but, if they really can't make payroll, the best course of action might be go ahead and lay those employees off so they can collect unemployment, because I'm not a labor law attorney, so I'm not going to get into that aspect of it, but there are some programs out there now for unemployment. But also this other loan, the EIDL loan, there is an option there to go ahead and apply for that as well, and they could get a $10,000 advance. And what the SBA is saying is they could receive that $10,000 within 3 days of submitting the application, so that could be a very short-term fix.
Yeah, it could be a lifeline for some of the people that call me and text here to the station that are interested in that. Now, you mentioned preparing documents. Give us just as you understand it now, Andrew, what is a basic list of things that business owners should be gathering up and putting together?
Yeah, great question. Starting point would be the business's tax returns for the past 3 years, but also you as the individual owner, those tax returns. And then since the payroll protection program is based on your payroll monthly costs, and that's how they determine how much you can borrow, you're going to need a detailed report listing your payroll costs per month going back for the past 12 months, and that includes your wages, PTO type pay, retirement plan benefits, group health insurance. And then beyond that, start working on that narrative of how this crisis has impacted your business.
Okay, so there's going to be there's an essay portion of this application?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that question?
There's an essay.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a written out, you said the narrative. Not only do you show the numbers, but you basically state the case for why you need this loan.
Right, right. Yeah, that will go in your file with the bank, and that way that the banker can determine, yes, they've been impacted by this, and they're going to be eligible to receive these funds.
But that's what the banker's making the decision on, right? Not really the ability to repay the loan, but whether you should receive the loan, right? Because it's
exactly.
Federal. Okay, because that's a little different. I mean, the bankers are not going to be tasked with figuring out, are you going to be able to repay this loan? It's just if you should get it. And that comes from what I keep calling the forgiveness portion of this. I don't know if that's an accurate term, but can you explain, number one, if there's a better term and how that looks?
Yeah, so the Paycheck Protection Loan, there is a forgiveness portion of this. And how that looks is once you receive these funds, over the next 8 weeks, they're going to look at what portion of the loan that you use to cover your payroll cost, rent, utilities, and then if you don't have rent and you own a building, what portion you use to cover mortgage interest. And there are exceptions to this, but in general, you add up all those costs, and if you used all the loan proceeds just for that, you'll have the whole loan forgiven. And then it's also based on how many employees you rehire. That percentage could be reduced, but there is potential to have it partially or fully forgiven.
Now, the term of the loan, now if it's forgiven, I guess that doesn't matter, but there may be parts of this that aren't forgiven. How
right.
long of a loan are we talking about?
So from what the CARES Act says, it's kind of up to each bank, but they can't exceed a term of more than 10 years, and the interest rate can't exceed 4%. So you're looking up to 10 years, essentially.
Okay. And would the forgiveness portion stay current through the 10 years of that loan if that money was used for wages, salaries, like you said, operating cost?
So the forgiveness portion would just be kind of dropped off, and then whatever's in excess, I believe that's what would be amortized over those next 10 years. And then also in the bill, it says there's a payment deferral clause, and so there won't be any payments due for a minimum period of 6 months after the origination date of the loan.
This is great news for a lot of businesses out there, and they're trying to figure out how to negotiate this. If you're just joining us, talking to Andrew Bailey, supervisor at Crowe Shields and Bailey, about this. Communications, you point out here, is a big deal. How is that?
Oh, yeah, definitely need to be in touch with, one, if you have a CPA in a payroll company, get in touch with them ASAP to start gathering these type of reports. But two, you know, you need to get in touch with your local banker, because these banks are about to get flooded with these type of requests, and some of the banks are only going to work with their existing customers. And so you just need to get on their information list, because they're sending out information daily as well, as far as, you know, what documents they're going to require, and, you know, how you need to sign up for this process.
Now, so somebody should even if they do not have a current working relationship with a bank, go ahead and start that, get that appointment, go in there and say, hey, I need a banker?
Yeah, and, you know, I would think most businesses in here at a bare minimum have a checking account, and so that would be your starting point.
Okay, so that's enough of a relationship for somebody to go in, and because I know a lot of this is going to be appointment-driven, right, to be able to get in to see these bankers.
Yeah, and again, I don't know how that end of the process is going to work, because a lot of the bankers are working from home right now, and so they're still trying to figure out how documents are going to get signed electronically. But, you know, at a minimum, you know, call them or email them and, you know, start that conversation for sure.
Hey, Andrew, I've got a question here before we go to the news break. One from our text line here says, I have an LLC with rental properties. I was wondering if the small business loan would help me if my tenants have lost their jobs and cannot pay rent. The properties are not paid for, so I would love to make the bank note.
So in that case, they probably don't have payroll, so the payroll protection loan wouldn't be the best route to go. But that other loan I mentioned, the EIDL, which you applied directly to through the SBA at SBA.gov, there actually is a section in there that asks about lost rent revenue. And so that would be probably the best fit for that individual.
Okay. So, and EIDL stands for what again?
That is, Economic Injury Disaster Loan.
Okay. Okay. So that's almost the, and I'm going to try to, maybe this is not right, but to me that seems like the Band-Aid or the that's the first aid, while this other loan may be the long-term cure for a business?
Yeah, it just kind of depends on each business, but the EIDL has been around for disasters, you know, before the COVID crisis as well, so it's always been available through the SBA, and that would be the best case for something like that. Now, it is a true loan. There's no debt forgiveness clauses built into that one.
All right. As we go forward in this, you talked about preparing here. You talked about communicating. You said communicating with your accountant, getting the papers you need. But what about, I mean, communication with people's vendors or the people that maybe the people that owe them money? I mean, is that going to be part of what they bring into the bank? They're going to show receivables. Is that important at all, or is it just going to be green lighted?
You know, each bank's different. You know, for this loan, payroll is most important, but it's not going to hurt to have, especially your payables, summarize, you know, what your current debt obligations are, you know, what your monthly required payments are. You know, that's probably something the bank would want to see.
I heard, I think it was Congressman Byrne had mentioned that that this could also pay for health insurance premiums. Is that, are you hearing that?
Yeah, that's part of the payroll cost that they're including in this.
Okay, so that's included with it.
Exactly.
All right. Hold on. We're going to run the news break and come right back. More with Andrew Bailey, supervisor at Crowe Shields and Bailey. Talk about navigating the small business loan. We've been talking about it for a while. A lot of questions from y'all on exactly how it works. That's the answers we're getting right now. If you got a text, you can send it in to 343-0106. I patched together something MacGyver's not lost. Now that the bad weather is on to our east, a massive internet failure at the beginning of the show. So I'm doing this with an Abacus and a Samsung Galaxy phone. Wouldn't be the first time, but we got the text line open on that. So send your text to 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. text line, phone line, 343-0106, 343-0106. I'm talking with supervisor at Crow Shields and Bailey, Andrew Bailey, and talking about navigating what's going on here with the small business loan. And you said two parts here, and this is a good education we're getting, Andrew. This EIDL is a different thing than this newly passed small business loan.
Correct. Yeah. So the newly passed loan came out as part of the CARES Act, which is the coronavirus relief, and that is specifically called the Paycheck Protection Program. Now, the EIDL loan, that's a disaster relief type loan that's been in existence through the Small Business Association.
Now, I know you look at these things analytically, and I may look at them from a little different view, but it seems to me that the idea here is for small businesses, obviously, to stay afloat and stay solvent, but to keep people on their payrolls, to not add those people to the unemployment rolls.
Exactly. You know, that's really why they called it the Paycheck Protection Program, and why the government's offering loan forgiveness, because they don't want everybody participating in unemployment if they can avoid that. So they want to give the businesses enough money to make it through these next couple of months, and then get back on the right track.
Now, I like this word. You sent an email to me here, and you had optimization as one of the bullet points. Explain that.
So optimization would probably mean, figuring out which of these programs for you individually is going to work out best. For some of our clients, it might be a combination of both types of relief, where, somebody that's more payroll heavy, maybe they just want to participate in the payroll protection program and try to, get all that debt forgiven.
All right. I want to go to the phones and the text line here, and let's check in with Everett. He's in Mobile. You're on with Andrew Bailey.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Everett.
Yeah.
I just had a question. I was wondering, where do the small, like the bars and the clubs, fall in the mix at? Because a lot of the employees that work at nightclubs get paid cash, and they work for tips. So I was wondering, how do they fall in the mix?
So that's at the individual, nightclub, not the employees. This is, we're talking about the business owners. They would be the one applying for these loans. And as long as those cash tips and, payroll costs are reported on their payroll tax filings, then, those costs would qualify as part of the calculation for the loan.
There you go, Everett. Thanks for the call. This from the text line, Jason in Gulf Shores. Andrew is asking, being self-employed first, would I be eligible for the loan? If so, can I use it to pay myself? Would that be forgiven?
That's a kind of a gray area, but yes, you are eligible, and the payroll costs for yourself really are commissions that you're earning, and really whatever the net income that you're earning that is subject to self-employment taxes.
Okay, but so you can be, because we talk about small business, there's a lot of small businesses that are a business of one.
Right, yeah, sole providers do qualify for this, yes.
Okay, Tony says, I have a new startup business and borrowed money to get it started. All bookings have been refunded. I do not have payroll, but I'm losing $1,000 a month. Anything in this to help me?
So if you don't have payroll, that's where you'd probably want to go back to that EIDL loan through the SBA.gov website and start there. That's the, that's what they've rolled out as immediate relief for the coronavirus crisis for people without payroll at this time.
All right. So this is why they need to talk to somebody, obviously, like you in the know, because one size, I mean, I'm being cliche here, but one size does not fit all.
Yeah, I mean, every single business is going to probably be different. We can't just put a blanket answer out there for everybody.
But there is truth after you had the fun reading of the 800 pages of this, because it seemed, when I first said it, when it was first discussed on the show, I said, my gosh, that seems too good to be true. But this idea that there will be forgiveness of the amount of the loan that is used to pay wages, salaries, actually go through all the things that will be forgiven.
Yeah, so payroll costs, which are salary, wages, but also portions of health insurance and retirement plan benefits, rent and utilities, and if you don't rent, then it would be interest on the building that you own. And utilities covers not only the power and water bills, but also things like internet.
Okay, yeah, that's a big utility, and hey, it's a big deal for me right now as we're doing the show without it. All right, if let's, I guess, look at the things not covered here. What about capital investments that the company's made? You're paying debt service on a, you know, maybe it's not a building. Maybe it's a vehicle or a tool or a machine that you use for your business.
Yeah, so the proceeds from this loan, you know, aren't intended to cover those type of costs. Now, if you do qualify for the Paycheck Protection Loan and end up using those proceeds to pay for items like that, you're just not going to have the debt forgiven. You know, but however, if you're making monthly payments, you know, it's not going to hurt you to call, you know, the bank or your vendors and ask for some type of deferment to get you through the next few months. The worst thing they can do is tell you no, you have to keep paying.
Yeah, there's, I hear a variety of things so far about that. Some places saying, hey, they're going to give a, you know, a period of grace. Sometimes that grace is interest only. Sometimes it's, you know, interest and principal. I mean, so there's no common, I mean, you're not seeing any kind of common thing there. It's just,
there is nothing in the CARES Act that I've read that is requiring, you know, businesses to provide type of relief on monthly debt service.
This texter saying, my employer has continued to stay open but cut our hours. They are continuing to see patients at irregular appointments. I have no PTO left. They said nothing about compensation for us that have no PTO left. Unemployment lines are overwhelmed. What can I do?
So that is more of a question for an HR consultant, a labor law attorney. But you know, if you have been laid off, you think your best option right now is to, you know, get in line at unemployment, because I know the government's put a bunch of money into that program.
But I guess the idea here, though, is they're trying to prevent that, right? I mean, yes, it's there, and we have these assurances for unemployment, but the government must seem to think that the small business can be the better arbiter of this than the federal government, in a way.
True. And then, you know, for that person that texted that question, you know, I would advise them to get with the owner of their business to encourage them to apply for this loan, because that will give them the money necessary to get through the next couple of months.
And once again, you cautioned, too, that time is of the essence, because there's going to be a crush of people doing this.
Exactly. You know, we don't know exactly when the banks are going to start processing these applications, but you know, there is a limited amount of money available. So, you know, I would imagine it'll move quickly. And this is available to the entire United States, not just, you know, here in Mobile and Baldwin County.
Yeah, that is one of the differences here, is we try to square this with things we're used to, like a hurricane, you know, in the aftermath of it. Everybody is, it's happening to all states at the same time, happened to the world at the same time. There's no,
right.
Yeah, there's no area that go, oh, the focus is on, you know, Southwest Alabama. Focus is on everywhere.
Exactly.
You once again, you talked about employee. The first thing we started talking about is employer responsibility. So obviously, the responsibility is to get this loan moving, but also your responsibility to your employees in the short term.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would, you know, just keep your employees in the loop on, you know, what your plans are. I mean, if you don't think you're going to be able to keep your doors open for the next week, you know, those employees need to know it so they can plan accordingly as well. And you know, the best thing you can do is be proactive about, you know, seeking this type of relief, because you know, I think it's going to be a little while before the light at the end of the tunnel. So everybody's going to need all the help they can get.
All right. So Andrew, if somebody checks in with y'all, give somebody a to-do list? I mean, I imagine that helps having us ready to get in line.
Yeah, definitely. And if they want to get in touch with us, they can call our main office number at 343-1012. And then also our website is CSBCPA.com, and we have a COVID-19 webpage with all sorts of information out there, blog posts, links to the SBA. So there's, you know, there's a wealth of information there that they can find.
I appreciate your time and your advice on this, and as more of this comes to light, I may be leaning on you again, asking some more questions.
Great. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
Andrew, a pleasure. Andrew Bailey, supervisor at Crow Shields and Bailey, with some answers to some of the questions out there on this small business loan. And we'll continue this discussion, how small businesses can navigate the new economy. We'll be doing that with Cam Marston coming up at 1 o'clock with What's Working Special Edition. Remember, this is some of our additional programming. We do this on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 1 to 2 from here till, well, y'all, till we don't need to do it anymore. You know, I'm not going to put a time on it, because I feel like we probably don't have all the questions yet, all the situations laid out, right? And we'll continue to work through this. And by the way, too, the numbers are rising, of course, in cases of COVID-19 around the country. Here in Alabama, the update we got as of mid-morning. This was, they said, a brief summary from the 9 a.m. update. Yeah, let's see. Up 949 confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Alabama, 13 deaths now. That number keeps bumping around because of having to go back through and guarantee whether a death was specifically from COVID-19 or they'll have people that had COVID-19 but they passed. They have to go through and qualify those. So that's why I think we see these delays or lags in these numbers. But once again, total confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Alabama, 949, 13 deaths. Mobile County, 48 confirmed cases, and one death for Mobile County, but I think they're going to, sadly today, probably update that. We'll keep our eyes on the story and talk about that in just a little bit. All right, we'll take your calls and your text at 343-0106. Let me go to David in Mobile quickly before the news break. Yeah, David?
Yes, sir. I would want to kind of give you an update for people that didn't hear yesterday. My dad was admitted
to
the hospital.
Yes, David. Yes, with an update. Yes,
he was. Yeah, was in assisted living, admitted to the hospital on Sunday. I tested negative for coronavirus. Had an anxiety attack. Long story short, but it was a very difficult situation. Good news is we were able to get him back into assisted living. But
yay.
I just want everybody to know that people that have older parents, such as myself, if they leave a nursing home or an assisted living facility, it may be difficult, if not impossible, if they are admitted to the hospital, even if they test negative, because then they've been exposed to the virus in the hospital. That's what we experienced yesterday. Now, I will tell you, it was not an easy task. I had a lot of people praying and a lot of people showing me favor. Even talked to some of the upper management in the hospital that I'm personal friends with, and they were telling me that we were going to have to take care of my elderly father, which we were not able to do. But again, thankfully, I just wanted everybody to know this is another side of this ugly virus we're not seeing. And it needs to be known. And if you got another minute, I want to share something else.
Please do.
I went through a huge hospital in Mobile, and I don't want to say the name because I don't want anybody to say I'm pointing fingers, but this is the reality of this situation. When you go in front of a hospital, usually you can't find a parking spot. The parking lot was empty, except employees, in the middle of the day. It was an eerie feeling. Every door in the hospital was locked, except the main entrance, and there's four nurses sitting at the door in scrubs and masks and gloves. Very, very eerie feeling. Just kind of wanted to kind of give everybody a different perspective on what's really happening out there. It is a real virus. It's affecting everybody, whether they want to or not. The unfortunate part, it's affecting the whole world and every community throughout the world in every way that's at the same time. And this is something we all just need to be aware of. And again, I just wanted to make everybody aware that may have their parents that may be in an assisted living or a nursing home that may run across the same struggles, just to be prepared.
Yeah, David, for people who didn't hear it yesterday, the quick version of this is, I mean, you were in kind of a limbo situation with your father. Describe people what to be watchful for.
Yes, exactly. If you have a parent or anybody that's in an assisted living or a nursing home, right now, they're under strict CDC guidelines. If that individual leaves and goes to a hospital, they're not supposed to be able to come back into that facility because they are presumed to have come in contact with the virus because they were in the hospital. Now, I was told that every situation will be handled on a case-by-case basis, but I was told by at least five individuals in the profession at the hospital as well as the assisted living facility that they would not let him back in because of the CDC guidelines. Again, I can't tell you exactly why they let him back in, but I'm just thankful they did because his level of care is not something that I could give him.
Well, I appreciate the update, and I'm glad we have good news on that update. David, thank you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate your time. Y'all have a great day.
All right, will do. David checking in. Got some texts to get to here after the news break. Also coming up at 1 o'clock, Cam Marston and What's Working Special Edition.